You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Today's top story is brought to you by the financing company Genfin. So yesterday we took a look at the amount of crypto that has been stolen online throughout the world, according to a study that was published. And so today I thought, why not take a look at some of the measures that South Africa is putting in place. From our perspective, we know that there's a lot that we need to do from a grey listing perspective, but also just from a security of funds and a security of client perspective. And to that effect, the Financial Intelligence Centre has been hard at work coming up with a draft directive called the Travel Rule. I'm joined on the line by the Financial Intelligence Centre's Acting Director, Peter Smit, to take a look at this. Good evening, Peter. Thanks so much for taking the time. What is the Travel Rule Directive?
Good evening. Yes, the Travel Rule Directive is South Africa's legal instrument through which we will implement one of the aspects of the Financial Action Task Force standards that require certain information to accompany crypto transactions when persons transfer crypto assets from one person's wallet to another. And we require the legal instrument to compel the supply of the information or the receipt of the information, depending on which side of the transaction that the crypto asset service provider in South Africa would be.
Mm. Peter, when we look at this, what sort of information are we dealing with here? And does this now take away from the anonymity of crypto transactions?
To some extent, it is an attempt to reduce the anonymity around crypto transactions. So the information that we're looking at is two sides of the transaction. FATF requirement requires the supply of the originator information, in other words, the person who initiates the transfer, and the beneficiary information, in other words, the person who will eventually receive the benefit from the transfer. The originator information needs to describe the identity of the originator, in other words, things like a name and identity number, the various permutations of information elements that can be used, and then also the information that the originator has about the person who will eventually receive the transfer. Again, things like a name, identity number, company number, whatever the case may be.
So this would essentially require the crypto asset service providers locally to do some form of due diligence, some form of KYC, know your customer, to obtain this information. What do we then do with this travel rule upon implementation? How will the implementation be different from what we currently know?
Yes, so crypto asset service providers in South Africa are now required to comply with the Financial Intelligence Centre Act. They have been designated as accountable institutions, and that means they have to do due diligence on their customers. That means they have to obtain the identity information, verify that information, maintain records of the information on their own customer. So that information, if their customer is the originator of the transfer, will be at their disposal through their due diligence process, and that would be the information that they would then send across to the recipient crypto asset service provider, probably elsewhere in the world. Additional information that they would have to obtain to comply with the travel rule is the information that their customer can provide about the beneficiary that will receive the crypto asset transfer. The technology to supply to the information is available from commercial service providers, and it will be up to the individual crypto asset service providers to determine or decide which technology they want to use to enable them to pass on the information about the beneficiary and the originator. In the payment systems world, where we talk about funds, money, fiat currency moving, a similar rule applies there. And there, the payment systems that are provided have the facilities to carry this information. And in the crypto world, the crypto asset service providers have to come up with an equivalent means to carry that information from one provider to another. This is becoming something that is more and more prevalent in the international crypto industry, And more providers are coming up with solutions to that enable the carriage of the information. And like I say, it's up to the service providers individually to choose the best option for themselves.
So we're not implementing something that isn't industry standard and that isn't aimed at harming the crypto market. We're just implementing standards that we have had in place for other types of financial transactions. Peter, I want to look at the beneficiary side of it. You said obviously there's an element of whoever sending the funds or sending the crypto needs to then disclose certain information about the beneficiary or the person they're sending to. When we look at the beneficiary side of it, what do we then make of those beneficiaries that are unlisted wallets or what's known as self-custody wallets, when the end transaction or the end point of that crypto transaction is off a chain, off of the service, the crypto asset service provider's services?
Yes, and obviously in such a case, there wouldn't be a recipient crypto asset service provider who can then receive the information from the originating crypto service provider. What the requirements, the directive would require in those instances, and that we in line with the international standard, is that the originating crypto asset service provider would have to take a risk-based approach on whether they want to process that transaction to the unlisted wallet or not. And that would depend on what information they have available on their own customer's profile of transactions with them, and whether they believe there's an unmanageable and unmitigated risk, in which case they should not proceed with a transfer to an unlisted wallet. In other instances where they can determine that the risk is manageable or that there is no risk, they would be free to proceed with a transaction, but obviously then they would not have the supply of the beneficiary and the originating information with it.
Does this then mean that we are now going to hold crypto asset service providers accountable for this part of the process if they don't collect the requisite information from their perspective in a similar manner to how other financial institutions are held accountable in their own domains?
Correct. That is exactly what it means for crypto asset service providers. They are now fully fledged accountable institutions. They are on par as far as regulation is concerned with financial institutions, and therefore they will have to play by the same rules and be supervised and held accountable accordingly.
Peter, you and I had a conversation, it was probably a couple of months ago, when we were sitting at the Financial Crime Symposium with some of the other stakeholders to say that the hard target that South Africa's kind of put on its own shoulders is to get off this grey list by January of 2025. And we've seen most recently that we have heard from FATF that we're on the way to being reviewed in 2025. There's no indication of whether we'll come off that list. I want to look at some of the other measures that institutions are putting in place. We spoke at length about the importance of collaboration, and the FSCA has been giving me updates from their perspective on the show as well. You guys have come onto the show. The banking services and the insurance guys have done their part as well. Are we on track to mitigate enough so that by January of 2025 we come off that list?
Yes, we are on track. There's still a substantial amount of work to do. We still have two reporting cycles ahead of us where we need to submit progress reports to the FATF. One will be considered in October this year, and the last one, which is the January date, the report is due in January and it will be considered in February next year. And it's at that point in February next year that FATF will then have to make the final determination on whether we've met all the expectations in this grey listing process and that we are then eligible to be removed from the list. What FATF will do if they make that decision in February is they will send a team to South Africa to come and visit us around about May or April next year. And based on the assessment from that team, the decision whether or not to remove South Africa will then be taken in June next year.
So we are still quite a bit of a way away from coming off that list.
Yes, it's still a bit of a process ahead, but we still are on track to meet the deadlines and expectations that each one of these reporting cycles are for the necessary actions that we need to demonstrate to the FATF that we are in the process of following through on.
Are there any areas of concern where we're not making much headway?
I think that the general areas of concern are those that relate to achieving significant numbers of prosecutions for money laundering, especially complex cases, where we also need to achieve numbers of prosecutions for terrorist financing offences. Those things take time, and to get cases through the investigative process and into the court rolls is often a challenge. So that's one of the areas that we are spending really a lot of time and effort on, as not just as the FIC, the authorities in the investigative prosecuting value chain as well. Other areas where we have still to make continue the progress on the same track that we are on at the moment is on the supervision of our non-financial institutions, the likes of lawyers, estate agents, casinos, etc., where we also have to demonstrate that we have the tools in place to effectively supervise those.
Seems like there's still quite a bit of work to do, but it's good to see that we are on the right track. I think we'll leave it at that. Peter, thanks so much for those insights. That's Acting Director at the Financial Intelligence Center, Peter Smit, joining me to take a look at the latest travel rule directive that the FIC intends to impose on crypto asset service providers. This top story was brought to you by Genfin, proud to support South African enterprises for sustainable success.
When your business needs finance to get things done, who do you turn to? At Genfin, we realize that you need to stay focused on running your business. So let us do the work and get your business loan approved in 24 hours. For loans up to 5 million rand, from as little as 10% for 3 months, apply online at genfin.co.za. Genfin, we get it done.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.